showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. We are live and in living color at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with you. Ian Safar behind the glass on the ones and twos. Sean Mark, our on-site engineer. Big Joe is off today for good reasons. We'll tell you about that here in just a second. But Dr. Crane, how you doing?
I'm doing dandy. You guys let me out of the cage again. This is great.
We did. We let you come down here and eat a little bit and hang out with us here at Kitchen Notes, which is always fun. The JoJo is with his son, JJ, who is graduating high school. So congratulations to JJ. I think they had a breakfast or something today, and then it all goes down tomorrow. So,
oh boy,
he gets the last one out of the house.
Just advice for JJ: don't stumble.
Yeah, don't stumble. No,
I did that at my eighth grade graduation. It was not great.
So Joe is celebrating with that, and we're excited and proud of JJ. I literally have watched that kid grow up, so it is really, really cool to see. So I'm going to get right to it. That leads us to our question of the day.
Okay.
In honor of not only JJ, but a lot of students that are graduating, I guess over the next few weeks, it'll be ending high school and moving on to what's next. What's one piece of advice you would give to a graduating high school senior?
Man, there's so much.
I have a few that I could throw out there. My best advice is when you find where you're going to live in college, whether that be the dorms or an apartment or whatever, don't get one next to a fast food place because you will not put on the freshman 20. You'll probably put on like the freshman 40.
Yeah, the freshman 40. That sounds about right. For me, I didn't have that luxury. Like I told you before, I did the community college route.
Yeah.
So I lived from home and I commuted every day. But there were some fast food joints that were around Columbia State. I was like, that's tempting. Taco Bell, one of my favorites.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there. Another one is do not let – look, we've all had young love. We've all been there. Do not let a boy or a girl that you may have – think you have feelings for at the time decide – life-changing steps for you.
Yeah.
Because it's probably not going to go the right way. Now, you're not going to listen to that right now if you're 18 or 19 years old. Trust me, I get it. But I'm just telling you, don't let that decide your future.
They call it puppy love for a reason. You outgrow it.
Yes.
You outgrow it.
So that's our question of the day. 615-737-1025. Your advice for a graduating high school senior. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Robbie Stanley is going to join us from our morning show at 9:30. We'll get some advice from him because I'm sure he has good ones. And then we'll talk a little hockey. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been really compelling. Get into some preds with him. Chris Sanders at 10 o'clock today. I get his thoughts on the Titans schedule and all of that. And, with you on the show, we'll even hit a little Nashville SC today. They're in action this weekend. And I'm going to my first game of the year. So I guess it'll be my first game in the B.J. Callahan era.
You'll like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be so enamored into watching. You're like, wow, this is not like Nashville soccer of old. This is fun.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. But, we've had a few days to kind of react to the schedule, and now things shift into the off-season program. We've got some OTAs coming up in a few weeks, a mini camp. And, I mean, look, training camp's going to be here before you know it. I mean, the summer does fly by.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there'll be about that 6 weeks of a dead period where everything's off. But now is the opportunity for Brian Callahan and his coaching staff to kind of get everybody together and start learning the new schemes and the new players and obviously the new quarterback.
Yeah, and there's a little merit to something I'm about to bring up. I think I brought it up maybe last Saturday or something like that. You know, when Brian Callahan was in Cincinnati, they gave Joe Burrow the playbook before the draft or around that time frame and kind of do the same thing with Cam Ward. I think there's some merit to that, to the fact that maybe the Titans are actually on the right step, they're in the right direction, that is, because there are a lot of people out there that are probably still thinking, oh, same old Titans, they're going to be a below 500 team, they're not going in the right direction. I think they are. They're taking the right steps to do the right thing for the future.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think so, too. And, you know, it's kind of like we talked about yesterday in looking at the schedule of, I think right now this is probably a 5-win football team. That is an improvement over last year. And so then it's, okay, well, if you're only going to 5 wins, then you need to make a coaching change. Well, what do some of these great quarterbacks have in common? They've they've kept basically who's been their play caller, you know, through their development. And, you know, we said going into the draft process, if you're absolutely going to take Cam Ward, if that's the direction you're going to go and you're going quarterback, then you need to be committed to Brian Callahan for at least 2 years with him before you make that change. Now, if they, you know, if all the losses they have next year are blowouts and they're just not competitive and all of that, then you can certainly sit there and make that evaluation and make an argument for a change. But if this team is showing signs of growth, and wins don't always mean that, if they're showing signs of growth, then I think you kind of have to stick with it.
Yeah, you're right on that, Chase.
And people don't like that. People don't want to hear that.
But. Yeah, I think people, like I've mentioned before in years past, microwave society. Everybody wants that win now, win now. I want to be up at the top with everybody else. Give me the 10-7 year. You're not going to get that. I mean, you might catch lightning in the ball like Cincinnati did with Joe Burrow his rookie season, but this is different. Mm-hmm. This is Cam Ward. He is probably – To some Titans fans, like you call them the diehard two-tones. Is that what you
two-tone
call them?
Till I die.
Yeah, two-tone till I die. All those people thinking, 17-0. That's it. That's this Cam Ward era for the Tennessee Titans. Hold your horses a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to take it one step at a time.
Well, because the other thing is the rest of this team, you know, needs work.
Yeah.
The offensive line, we're all sitting here going, well, they've rebuilt the offensive line. Yes, they have, but we don't know if they've done it well.
Right.
We don't know how. I mean, they overpaid to get Dan Moore. That's the only way they were going to get him.
I'm still skeptical on that, by
the way. Is he going to be a better left tackle than J.C. Latham was? I don't know. Is J.C. Latham going to be a – I mean, surely to God he can be a better right tackle than what they had last year. But
you hope.
You know, is that really going to make a difference with him? Is Skoronski going to take another step? Because I've been really worried about that, you know. So, I mean, there's still a lot of questions there. Receivers, still don't feel great about that group. I'm optimistic about the young guys, but they're fourth round picks and an undrafted guy. I mean, and an aging Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. Even though those are fourth round picks, like you're saying, an aging Tyler Lockett, to me, with the amount of attention that wide receiver core is getting right now, there's a lot of pressure on this Titans offense, especially at the wide receiver position, to produce immediately.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but everybody, like I said, microwave society, boom, you're going to have to produce immediately week one.
Yeah. 100%. And so, you know, I think the tight ends and, you know, they've added to the tight end room a little bit with some moves that they have made. Obviously, Gunnar Helm, all eyes are going to be on him. So there are a lot of question marks with this team on offense and defense that don't, you know, the quarterback is its own category.
Right.
But I think that, you know, you weren't going to fix everything in 1 year. And this team, I'll at least give them credit. They've done what they have said they were going to do, and that is we're going to build around young players. We're going to build through the draft. We're going to, you know, do all that. And so that's – they've added some veterans here and there, but they're not – you know, they're not putting everything all into the middle of the table based on what the veterans are.
Right. And the other position group that scares me a little bit, Chase, is the secondary, especially at corner. Obviously, we don't know the future of L'Jarius Sneed. That's still up in the air. But – and I mentioned this yesterday when you and Joe were in Atlanta. Roger McCreary has to have a prove-it year in some regard. Because he's been consistent. Yes, he's been available. But at the same time, he has to prove that he is a top-tier corner for this team.
I agree. I mean, I think he needs to be more than a slot corner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right now he's certainly in position. So let's see. They've – because you don't know what Sneed – what you're going to have with Sneed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they're kind of looking at it as they're going to be without him for a while. You had Daryl Baker, who they brought in last year, who's serviceable. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Brownlee, same thing. I think he overachieved. We'll see what he can do in his second year. Marcus Harris is a rookie. Gabe Judy-Lally is an undrafted guy that's on the roster. They signed a couple of other undrafted guys that are on the roster. I mentioned McCreary. And then they just signed – Orawari.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough Amani.
We
get there. Amani 2.0.
They just signed him, who's a veteran. And then that's kind of what you have right now.
Yeah.
So I think they brought him in for that veteran presence as kind of an insurance policy, knowing that they might not have Sneed.
And I wonder what, you know, Amani and the other defensive lineman they also brought in, Carlos Adkins, is that correct? Or Watkins, I think is what
Carlos
it was.
Watkins, yeah.
Both of those guys, lineman. They played for Dallas last year. And we see the special teams guy coming in as Bones Fossil, was a Dallas Cowboy.
Yep.
So I wonder what kind of chemistry there is. I know it was a short amount of time, but there might be some substance to that a little bit.
Yeah, could be. I like Watkins. That's an interesting one, so. You know, still a lot of question marks with this team that will have to be answered over time. 615-737-1025. Your best piece of advice to a graduating high school senior? That is our question of the day. And we got a few answers here that we'll get to coming up next. But text those in, call those in honor of Joe's son graduating and all the other high schoolers that are graduating out there. That is our question of the day. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. It is Chase and Big Joe with Dr. Crane in today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Classic song from a classic movie, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Friday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Our question of the day, your best piece of advice to a graduating high school senior. People have weighed in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man Todd Rodemel just walked in as well to grace us with his presence.
Good old Todd.
We love Todd. He's the best. No JoJo today. He's with his son graduating.
As he should.
Joe's getting his diploma too.
Yeah, Joe's finally graduating, so we're proud of him as well. Nevada Josh says, just say no. That's a good one. 0247, save to retire by 45, but have fun.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Adam in Portland, your crew might change after high school, and that's all right. The boys who really have your back, the ones who show up, keep it real, and want to see you win, those are the ones worth holding on to. Don't stress trying to keep every friendship alive. Just make sure you are solid to the ones who are solid to you. That, Adam in Portland, fantastic stuff. And look, I mean, there's people that I was friends with in high school that I don't talk to regularly, but when I do, it's kind of like we pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
And like, so you're going to have friendships like that too.
I call them like my core four or core five. That's kind of what I really have. I mean, obviously I have your family, but I got friends. I've been literally grade school friends from kindergarten all the way through. Like I was telling you before the show, like one of the buddies I'm going to see Saturday is getting married.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is cool. Like
getting
to I don't see him as often. But once I see everybody that I know, like, oh, we're picking up right where we left off.
Yeah.
And that's a great piece of advice from Adam.
Jeremy says, best piece of advice, make connections, make connections, make connections. These connections will be valuable later in life when you're looking for a job, reference, or just need some advice.
Yeah.
Very, very good there. Hair Metal Henry, stop believing everything you read on the internet. And as Dave Chappelle said, save the girl for later. I mean, don't fall in love.
Yeah, puppy,
at least
puppy
in your
love.
First year.
Yeah, it's just puppy love. It goes away.
6421, quote, wear sunscreen. Hey, that is good advice because I went spring break one time and I thought, I don't need it. I'll be fine. And I looked like a lobster and like hurt for a week and a half.
You know, those are what, second degree burns, I guess, in some regard? Those little sunburns? It can be. They start blistering. Yeah. No thanks.
Mike in Nashville, my advice to seniors, don't grow up to be like Jared. Complaining will not get you a future.
I don't know. It's worked
for
him.
Jared's done all right. He's done all right for himself. So don't knock it completely.
You know, he texted me randomly last week, and it was just like.
That's a sign. That means he likes you. That's good.
He asked me a Godfather question. I was like, well, what is it? He goes, would you have killed Fredo? And I'm like, well, like, give me more context. He goes, well, no, like, would you kill him, like, from the movie with everything? Like, yeah, absolutely.
He goes, I thought he was making sure he wasn't cussing in Italian again.
Oh, whoa. Glad we hit the dumb button there. That was something else.
That was good. Yeah, so keep those coming throughout the show. Best advice to a graduating high school senior. Did you see this? And I talked to our buddy Ryan Porth, who works in Chicago now, and he said they've been eating it up. But apparently there's a book coming out that talks about Caleb Williams that at one point was basically trying to figure out if he could avoid having to go to the Bears.
I didn't know about it until you brought it up to me before the show, and I'm just thinking, wait a minute.
So it started in Seth Wickersham, you know, with ESPN is the writer, and it's author of the book American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. So, quote, Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die. That is a quote from Carl Williams, who is Caleb's father, He told that to Seth Wickersham in the months before the 2024 NFL draft. Caleb Williams wondered aloud to confidants, do I want to go there? I don't think I can do it with Waldron, talking about the former offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron,
right,
who was there. The forthcoming book, to be published in September, offers a detailed account of what it means to be a quarterback at various levels, from high school to college to the NFL, and what it's like for legends in retirement. It features unprecedented access with dozens of quarterbacks and generational greats such as John Elway, Johnny Unitas, Warren Moon, members of the Manning family, and Steve Young, among others. It also includes current signal callers such as Kirk Cousins and Drake May. That is interesting. But so I asked Ryan, I'm like, so what's this been like? And he said everybody's been eating it up. That, I mean, now you got a whole new coaching staff. I think this could be a good fit for him when it comes to the coach. But I know it was kind of a bleep show, you know, when he first got there with Eberflus and Waldron and all those guys. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to have gone there.
No, and like you're saying, they're on the right track getting Colston Loveland this year in the draft, getting Luther Burden. Like that, when you surround all of your, I guess, surround your main franchise quarterback with assets, yeah, you're going to have some success. I was telling you a little bit ago, like, I'm not too sold on Chicago just yet. This is interesting, though, with the whole book. Like, it says here in the article, like, his dad didn't want him to go to Chicago.
Quote, I don't want my son playing for the Bears, end quote.
Like, why would you say that? That blows my mind.
Well, I mean, again, I get it. But so I'll relate it to this. How many conversations do we think that, you know, draft picks and everything have had about this organization over the last couple of years, about the Titans?
I mean, yeah, you're right.
I mean, do we think that there was a secret conversation behind closed doors of Cam Ward being like, I really don't know if I want to go there?
I mean, it's a little different with Cam Ward because he came from a zero-star recruit out of high school.
Right, right, right.
I think he's more, I guess, grateful and humbled that he's in this position. I think it's an opportunity for him. But as for Caleb Williams,
yeah,
a starred recruit coming out of high school, goes to play SEC football, then goes out to USC, and you just like, you're at a marquee team every single year. You go to one of the most historic franchises in all the NFL, and then you have your father come out and say something like that. Come on.
Well,
where's the respect and factor?
It's a little bit different, too, because as you mentioned, Chicago's a historic franchise. It's market three,
right,
media market three. So there's a much bigger microscope that you're under. Whereas here, it's not. Because,
right,
I mean, they got no primetime games. Nobody talks about them outside of here, you know, and won't, unless they're winning the Super Bowl. But, I mean, if Cam Ward turns out to be Patrick Mahomes, then they might. Because nobody really talked about Kansas City until that happened.
That's true.
As well. So, I do think, and I hope that the conversations are, well, they had a GM and a coach that got the number one overall seed. They both got contract extensions, and then a year and a half later, they're both gone.
They both got canned.
That's kind of interesting. Then they hire another GM that's there less than 2 years. He gets canned. So seems to be a lot of turnover there. The owner can't seem to stay out of their own way. But again, I wonder if those conversations are happening. It would if it was me. Now, not to the point of, you know, oh,
Boy,
I don't want to go there.
Going there. Yeah,
like I think everybody wonders, and maybe if Shador Sanders had gone number one overall, it would have happened. But I think Eli Manning was the last one to basically be like, "I'm not playing for this team.
Trade me." Yeah,
and to get traded, it happened with him. It happened with Elway. I know there are, I think Bo Jackson. Maybe there are a few others that it happened with. But
right. But
like, those days, I think, are gone because of the way the CBA is set up, the way that they're, you know, it's 4 years, the rookie contracts. But I would be interested to know if it would happen, you know, if it would ever happen again.
I mean, I feel like if it is, Caleb Williams would kind of be the guy to do it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
A little bit, just because of the power his name carries, the power of his status.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way the land is.
Kevin says, winners don't think that way. Winners think that the man, they'll go think that they're the man, and they'll go anywhere and turn it around. It's a different mentality. Caleb is not a winner. It wouldn't matter where he went. He's a goofball, will never be squat in the NFL, and he has the complete wrong mental makeup opposite of Cam. Now, that I am curious to see because I do like Cam's mental makeup right now.
Yeah.
He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. We'll see how it translates to the football field. But, you know, to your point earlier, I think his mindset was, well, hey, nobody wanted me out of, you know, in college, so I'm going to go prove myself. Like, whoever selects me is going to be very happy that they selected me.
Right.
I mean, him making that comment during the workout when he looked over at Callahan and said, I'm solidifying it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I love that.
Yeah. And it goes to show you, too, that when you have a guy that hustles like that and you compare him to a guy like Caleb Williams, who I wouldn't say has been hand-fed for the most part, but things have been catered to
him. No, but they're different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so getting to that point of Cam Ward, I think, with his wide receiver core, and then you look at Caleb Williams with his wide receiver core now, to me, I think if Cam Ward outperforms Caleb Williams, just statistically, comparison paper on paper, I think you got to give the upper edge to Ward for being a better quarterback. I mean, obviously so, because statistically sure. It'd be better, but just the hustle of it behind it. There's a lot more meaning underneath Cam Ward when it comes to stuff like that.
We'll get back into this a little bit later. I want to bring this up with Chris Sanders, too. But let's get back to our question of the day real quick, a few answers before we get to Robbie Stanley. Jeremy in Clarksville, don't expect to start out with what your parents have, and don't be scared to fail. That's really good advice. Our question of the day, best advice you can give to a graduating high school senior. Josh from Mount Juliet, unless you are going for a very prestigious job, get in and out of college with as little debt as possible. Live cheap and build all the connections you can.
Amen.
Mike in Nolensville, high school was no means the best times of your life, contrary to what everybody says. And it's completely okay if you do not maintain any relationships from high school if they're not worth maintaining.
Bingo. I honestly, let me add on to that real fast. Being in a position where I was as a kid, and my parents were very fortunate enough to send me to Father Ryan, I made friendships, but at the same time, I had the mentality of, you know what? Bust your butt once you get to college and just do the right thing. That's all you got to do in life. Do the right thing, bust your butt, and you will be rewarded in the end. And I think that's the best result for me that's happened is that I've been rewarded in the end.
Hard,
and I'm still working.
Hard work pays off. Kenny the mailman wants to weigh in. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, quick life advice. I listen to people first when they talk and ask them, do you have your plan? Do you have it mapped out? Do you know exactly what you're going to do in life? And they're so excited. And then I tell them, I go, hey, that's great, but get ready to improvise. That's not how life is. You never know what's going to come at you, who you're going to meet. Be prepared to see opportunities that you thought you were never going to do. If you ask people, I think it's right at half or less than half are doing what they thought they were going to do or go to college to study. So you have to be flexible. Life is flexible. And listen, on your second question, we have no idea what a lot of these owners are like behind the scenes. I heard LeVar Arrington just this morning said, you know, he was an all-pro at Washington, three or four Pro Bowls. He felt if he went to Pittsburgh or San Francisco, he could have been a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, he said, I played for the worst owner in the NFL. The guy walked around, pinched pennies, told people he owned them, they will do what he says. He said, I didn't feel like giving him 100% when he talked that way and spoke that way. So, and that was Dan Snyder. There are a lot of owners that really, really put a damper on what this league should be. And it's like, I don't question sometimes if parents that love their children say, where is my kid going? Everybody out there, be flexible. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenny.
As Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yep.
You know? So that's great advice by Kenny the Mailman. We'll get some more advice from our man, Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road. He'll join us to talk some hockey with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane sitting in today. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we are live today at Kitchen Notes here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this, what is it, Friday?
Yes.
I literally woke up this morning, and I was like, what day is it?
Yesterday I thought it was Friday the whole day because Nobody was at the office. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this would be a cool day.
Is Robbie in the studio? Oh, okay, all right. We say hello now to Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, mornings from 6 to 9 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie, I want to start with this. Best piece of advice you have for a graduating high school student?
I would say your life is only just beginning. Most of what you are, think is really important right now really isn't all that important. And college is not for everybody, so don't be pressured into thinking that it is. Those are my three things right off the top of my head.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is very, very true. And I've said this before. If I could go back and do it all over again, I probably would have, because I ended up taking time off anyway because I had to because school was not my strongest thing.
I did the same things, okay.
And if I could do it all over again, I would have gone and just worked for Dad for a year or two, figured I knew what I wanted to do, but I had to get in the right mindset of school. Yeah. And then I would have done it a lot better, I think.
Well, I just think there's like there's always this pressure on a lot of kids nowadays that you have to go to college and you have to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying college is like useless or anything. I mean, there are plenty of people that go to college and have really positive experiences, and it's the right thing for them, but it's not the right thing for everybody. So, you know, sometimes I think we lose sight of that.
You and I have texted a little bit during, you know, watching some of these Stanley Cup playoff games, but I gotta tell you, I have been thoroughly entertained by these playoffs. I mean, there are obviously some series that are better than others. Washington gets eliminated last night. We'll talk about that. But this Dallas-Winnipeg series, even though it's, if you've looked at it, it's appeared one-sided, it's still been fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think the Central Division as a whole, I mean, I still think you can make an argument that the two best teams in the West played each other in the first round in Colorado and Dallas. And I know, look, I know Edmonton's gotten hot and they've got McDavid and Draisaitl. When those two turn it on, it's hard to match what those two bring. So Edmonton's already punched their ticket to the conference final. But the Central Division part of this has been awesome. Dallas and Colorado go 7. Dallas and Winnipeg is going at least 6. And it's interesting, like Hellebuck in goal for Winnipeg has been awesome at home. He gets the shutout last night. He's been terrible on the road throughout the whole playoff. So this thing's going back to Dallas, and it's probably going to require Connor Hellebuck to do something that he's not done to this point in the playoffs, which is play really, really well on the road for them to get back to Winnipeg. But I love the Stars. I think they're a great team. I said it to end our show. If I had to rank them right now, I'd go Dallas at 1, Florida at 2, Edmonton at 3, and Carolina at 4. So we'll see if the Jets can force a game 7 in this thing and get this thing back to Winnipeg.
I don't disagree with you at all. But what's funny is I had a friend text me like, so Dallas ends it tonight, right? And I go, no, I think Winnipeg is definitely going to – they're gonna live to fight another day. Turns out they ended up shutting out Dallas. If what you just said happens and Hellebuck can steal them one in Dallas because that's what's going to have to happen,
yep.
I think Winnipeg could win this series.
Well, if they
it goes back to Winnipeg, that's going to be a really tough ask for Dallas.
If it goes back, I mean, game 7 in that place, I know it's – you know, when you look at the numbers, it's a pretty small barn. But it gets loud in there. Like, it's one of those places that is really loud. So, I think
– were you there when the Predators played them in the playoffs?
I was not, but it's one of those places where you can kind of feel it through the TV of how loud it gets there. And not everywhere is that way. Winnipeg, I would put in that category.
If you ask me a playoff atmosphere, like the best one that I've ever physically been to, it's Winnipeg. I mean,
really?
It's – like I it was loud. I mean, they were passionate out in the streets. They keep showing that. I mean, the whiteout thing. Like it's a very, very tough place to play. So we'll see how that one goes off. What do you think happens now with Alex Ovechkin? He's got 1 year left on his contract. I think he comes back. I think he's 3 goals from 900. I think he definitely wants to hit that mark and maybe see if he can challenge 1,000. That's probably asking a little too much at this point in his career, but what do you think's next for Ovi?
I think he's going to come back for one more year, and then I think after that, we'll see. I think if he wants to, I think he can keep playing for a few more years. I mean, he had a great year this year. I mean, at age 39, it was unbelievable what he was able to do.
With a broken leg.
Yeah, and he had a broken leg in the middle of it and then still came back and was productive. So, like, he's a guy that with his shot, I mean, he's going to be able to give you 25 to 30 goals basically for as long as he wants to, I think. But the question is, how long does he want to? Like, I could definitely see a scenario where he's back next year. He takes another run at another championship with the Capitals. And then after that, when his contract expires and he's 40 years old, does he maybe go back and play at Russia for a couple of years? Does he go back home and play in the KHL. There's a lot of people that think he may do that this offseason. I'm more with you, Chase. I think he comes back and gives it one more go with Washington. He gets over the 900 mark. And by the way, they've got a really good team and a team that was a whole lot better this year than people expected. So maybe with some tinkering in the offseason, they're a team that's got a chance to go make some noise next year.
Robbie Stanley's here with us on the Chase and McJoe Show. Robbie, looking at Edmonton, obviously beating Vegas 4-1 in that series, two of those games went to overtime. And it, to me, it looks like Toronto's probably not going to beat Florida. You think Edmonton might actually break the streak this year? Because looking at Dallas and Winnipeg, that game might go down to the very end.
Well, I do think they've got a shot. Like, you know, at some point, you know, Edmonton has got McDavid and Draisaitl, which when they're on, maybe the two best players in the world. I mean, McDavid definitely is. I think when Draisaitl's on, he's probably in that conversation for the second best player in the world. So, I mean, common sense tells me that at some point with those two guys on your team, with as close as they've been, that they're going to break through and they're going to win a championship. And maybe it's this year. Now, I still have big questions about Edmonton's goaltending. You know, their defense is good. I don't think it's great. But when you have McDavid and Draisaitl that can just go off at any time, you're going to give yourself a chance. That's why if it gets there and Dallas and Edmonton is the matchup in the Western Conference Final, to me that's really interesting because I think you've got what would be the best overall team, in my opinion, in Dallas taking on the best two players in Edmonton. And Edmonton got the better part of that last year. They won in that matchup last year. And I think Dallas is better this year than they were a year ago, so I'm interested to see it. But, yeah, at some point, with as great as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are, they're going to break through. Whether or not it's this year, I don't know. But I think when those two guys are at their top level, they're pretty much impossible to contain.
And Edmonton, too, may get Ekholm back for the Western Conference Final.
Which would be a big boost. And, you know, he's probably not the same guy he was 4 years ago. Still pretty darn good.
Robbie, you mentioned Dallas. Mikko Rantanen has just taken this playoff by storm for the Stars. Like, give your synopsis on that because it's just almost an anomaly for him to have 19 points so far this postseason, that is.
Well, what he did in Game 7 in the first round against his former team in the Avalanche was one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen. Like, it was a legendary stuff that he pulled off in that Game 7. And then he just kind of rode the wave from there. And, you know, there was a thought out there, and I know Jared has thrown this out there, but he's not the only one. You know, I wondered a similar thing. Like when Jake Guentzel got away from Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh, one of the questions I had was, all right, well, how good is he away from Sidney Crosby? And it turns out Jake Guentzel is really good away from Sidney Crosby. Well, when Rantanen left Colorado, one of the questions was, he seems like he's a really good player, but how good is he away from Nathan McKinnon? And he wasn't that good in Carolina for the 14 games he was there. Well, he's been electric for Dallas, and he is one of the best players in the world. If you look at the numbers, like Rantanen is one of the best playoff performances of all time in the history of the game. Like he's an unbelievable gamer when it comes to the playoffs. And to me, he is the difference with this Stars team. He's why I think that they are ultimately going to go through here and win the cup. Is they've had a really good team for a long time. They have a lot of star players, and he is an elite one. He is an elite forward, and I think he takes them over the top. And I think they're going to win. I think the Stars are going to be the one that ends up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, how good is Steven Stamkos away from Nikita Kucherov?
Yeah. Didn't go so hot this year.
We're kind of seeing that. I mean, look, it's funny. I've been locked in on the playoffs. Like, just I don't know if it's because I knew the Preds season was over way many months ago. And so it's just been kind of fun to watch this caliber of hockey. But watching Granlund get a hat trick the other night and Duchesne and what he's done with the Stars, obviously that's been a really good fit for him. It is frustrating as a Predators fan and somebody that covers the team to kind of to see that. But, you know, the hope is that maybe this was just an anomaly and you kind of reset and things get better next year.
Well, I think the Stars are a perfect example of, like, how to layer your team. I mean, they've got a lot of really good veteran players. Yep. And they've had some young players that have come in and have made immediate impacts. And I've said it before. I said at the moment that Duchesne signed in Dallas, I was like, it's a great move for him because he doesn't have to be the guy there. And I know he led him in scoring in the regular season, but I think you're seeing it in the playoffs. Like, Wyatt Johnston is an absolute gamer in the playoffs. Rantanen is their best player by far in the playoffs. And Duchesne, and Granlund, like, don't have to be that guy every single night. And I think they had to be in their roles here, and I don't know that they're necessarily equipped to do that.
Toronto, Florida, game six tonight. I asked Greg Wyshynski, you know, what happens if Toronto doesn't get it done and get out of the series, which I don't think they're going to based on their performance the other night, and he believes it's time to maybe start blowing up the core. What do you think? I mean, could we see Mitch Marner actually hit the market this offseason and be the big fish?
Well, I think Marner's gone no matter what. I think at the end of this, you know, even if they go on to win the championship, which I don't think is going to happen, I mean, he's just going to command so much money that I think if you're Toronto, you probably just got to let him go at that point. But especially if they lose, like if you're him, I mean, you could kind of see it in his face when every time it gets brought up. He's not going to come out and outright say it right now, but he knows what the market is going to be like for him. There's going to be a lot of interest in Marner this offseason. He's going to make a ton of money, and the cap's going up and all those things. So I think Marner's going to be gone. I think the question beyond that is, you know, Matthews has not been great in this series, and you got to get that guy who I still think is a franchise elite-level player. He's got to be able to show up for you when it matters the most, and he just – isn't really doing that right now. So, you know, Tavares is going to be out there and available for other people. I'd probably let him go if I was Toronto and then just try to build around Matthews and Nylander as they move forward here. But I just think that group lacks the mental toughness that is required this time of year. I think they let way too many things get to them too often, which is easy to do when you play in a market like Toronto. And frankly, I think like Marner going somewhere else could be the best thing for him.
Well, look, I think if you moved that team to Hamilton for a year, you know, it probably would have taken some of the pressure off.
Yeah. But
can you give a public service announcement to Preds fans that the two gentlemen that you just named, Mitch Marner and John Tavares, will not be coming to Nashville and that they don't need to?
Well, and I don't think you want them to at this point. Like, look, Marner's a great player, and Marner's going to be, I think, a really good player in this league for a long time. I still am not convinced that he's made of the right stuff come playoff time, and he's going to cost a ton of money. And frankly, you just went through that last offseason. Like, let's see if you can maybe put together a trade or two this offseason and maybe not go too hot and heavy down the free agent pool this year.
Last one for you. We're kind of in that quiet time when it comes to the Predators. You know, Barry Trotz did kind of leave it open when he made it known that Brunette was going to be back, that there could be some changes on the coaching staff. Do you believe that? Do you think that there actually will be some changes on the coaching staff, or do you think that that was just, you know, answering a question?
Oh, I think that absolutely could happen. I mean, there are some very intriguing names that have been former head coaches that are out there and available that you could bring in to change things up. And, look, we've seen Andrew Brunette kind of chip away at this, right? Like, you know, he brought in Derek McKenzie with him his first year, and then this past offseason brought in Darby Hendrickson. Like, Todd Richards right now is the one guy that he basically inherited. So I don't know if it would be as simple as moving on from Richards and bringing in somebody else, or if you're just adding another coach to the bench that you've already got. I'm not sure exactly the approach that they would take there, but I think it was probably more likely than not that they bring in somebody else this offseason.
It'll be interesting to see. Robbie, thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you Monday starting at 6 a.m.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rex Road, weekdays from 6 to 9 here on 102.5, 106.3. The game also covers the Predators and does a great job with pre and post on the road and NHL.com. We'll react to some of that, get some of your thoughts, and then back to our question of the day, which is what is the best piece of advice you can give to a graduating high school senior? I want to tell you that Vandy continues their series. They got the win last night against Kentucky. This afternoon, pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. You can also listen on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. You talk about graduation. Everybody knows this one. Little Green Day. Was this – what album was this?
It says Nimrod on here.
Nimrod, yeah, that was it. Yep. This came out – I was probably still in middle school.
I'd say 2005 maybe?
Yeah. Oh, before that.
2001?
Yeah, I mean, this might have been like 90s.
No.
The name of the song is actually called Good Riddance, too, which is funny.
It was the album was released October 14th, 97. So.
Yeah, so I thought 1997. So, no, I was 10. when that
I
song
was
came out.
Negative one. Oh, no. Yeah, negative one.
That's this was definitely a big song during my 2001 graduation year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it. Look, and even mine, too, in 06. I mean, it stood the test of time for sure. So, Ian, you got some advice for graduating high school students?
Well, I'd say one of my, looking back, you know, when you do or if you do go to college, you know, the biggest step for me is like just going to class.
Yeah.
You know, like you can, I'll miss this one or I'll miss this one. Even if you don't do like all the readings and all the work or, you know, study as much as you think you should, just go to class. Just going to class makes a huge difference.
I will attest to that. Yeah. Cause it was such a big culture shock for me to go from FRA where everything was so structured and like, hey, you're here at this time, you do this at this time and all of that.
An A day, a B day, stuff like that.
To then going to MTSU where it's kind of like, you're on your own.
Like don't sign up for 8 o'clock classes.
No,
you're like, oh, I'm used to going to high school at 7:30. Yeah, I'm used to getting there. So, do not go 8 o'clock. Like,
guess what? Mom is not there to tell you your bedtime.
Learn that one the hard way.
Yeah. No, I did that my first semester. I was like, not doing this again. And then I got into a system where, you know, my first class was usually around 9:30 or 10, which was manageable.
Right.
And I would do like three a day. Here's the other thing, too. Don't load yourself up. Know your, you know, because I would try and take like 18 hours in a semester, which was stupid.
Yeah.
And so once I got to like 12 or 15 max, it was like, all right, I'm in a good spot. And I, you know, my last few years, I had like one class on Friday at like 10. I was done by lunchtime, start of the weekend. So, you know, that's the nice thing is you kind of learn that as you go.
Right.
Let's see, a few more on our text line. 8771, my advice, listen to wear sunscreen. Carson says, don't chase the money. Find a profession that you enjoy and love to do every day, and the money will come to you. You don't want to be miserable going to work every day. Aim into that, Carson. If you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Bingo.
And look, I mean, this job is like any other job where, yeah, there are going to be some bad days and stressful days and stuff. But I love what I do every day. Amen. And, you know, in my path that didn't take the exact track that I thought it would. But because, like, when I got into this, I had no intentions of being management. You know,
right.
I just wanted to talk on the radio. But I love what I do and being able to create and all that stuff. So that is great advice. Kevin says, learn from great people in leadership, but also learn from bad people in bad leadership. Be humble.
That is, it speaks so many volumes. I mean, you know, I've had some like friendship stuff that's happened in my past in roughly the last 6-7 months, and it's kind of opened up my eyes a little bit. And even though it was after college, but still, that can happen during your time in college. So always just keep an open eye. Like, be a fly on the wall. That's the best way to describe it. Be a fly on the wall when stuff happens like that, because you never know what's going to happen next.
Let's see. Jay from Laverne says, I'm a truck driver and I make more than a lot of college graduates make a year. Well, that's true. We need good truck drivers. Chris in Spring Hill, don't waste money on a class ring. You'll get laughed off a college campus if you wear it there. That's actually true. Jonathan in East Nashville, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Stay present and in the moment. Surround yourself with people who support you and save, save, save. Very good. We'll keep that going in hour number two. We'll even ask Chris Sanders. I know he'll have some good advice.
Oh, boy.
Teacher at Montgomery Bell Academy. We'll talk some Titans and more with him. Coming up next, it's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.